వందే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం తం కరుణార్ణవం కళావప్యదిగూఢేయం భక్తిర్యేణ ప్రకాశితా.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an ocean of transcendental mercy, and although the subject matter of Bhakti Yoga is very confidential, he has nonetheless manifested it so nicely, even in this age of Kali, the age of quarrel.
So this chapter essentially, Mahaprabhu is going to describe about the process of devotional service, Abhideya. Because in the previously he had described Sambandha in the 19th chapter. The last chapter Mahaprabhu intended to describe Abhideya, but Mahaprabhu's mind became immersed in Krishna's opulence and sweetness. So he actually diverted from his original intention. And then now he is again coming back. He is going to describe Abhideya. So that's why it's explained that Kalavapi Ati Gudeyam Bhaktir Yena Prakashita. He has manifested so nicely, even in this age of Ali, the process of Bhakti Yoga. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda. జయద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌరభక్త వృంద.
ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు నిత్యానంద్ ప్రభు, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అద్వైత ఆచార్య, అండ్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు.
సో మహాప్రభు ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఐ హావ్ ఆల్రెడీ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ద సంబంధ వన్స్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ మెనీ ఇన్ వేరియస్ వేస్. And this is actually the subject matter of all the Vedas. Veda Shastri Upadeshi Krishna Ekesar. That Krishna is the center of all the activities. This is the essence of all the Vedas and Shastras. So now I shall describe Abhideya, the characteristics of devotional service. Yaha Haite Paye Krishna Krishna Premadana, by which a person can attain the shelter of Krishna, and also one can basically get the love for Krishna, premadan. So the sambandha is like the cooking recipe. Abhideya is like the actual process of cooking, and prayojan is like the final product. So fifth verse. కృష్ణ భక్తి అభిధేయ సర్వశాస్త్రేకాయ అత ఏవ మునిగణ కరియాచే నిశ్చయ.
A human being's activities should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures, and all saintly people have firmly concluded this.
So Mahaprabhu is quoting that based on sadhus and shastra, that the life should be centered around Krishna and the path of Krishna bhakti. And then he quotes a verse. This is a very beautiful verse. The quotation is not mentioned from where, but it's a very beautiful verse which gives a comparison that the shrutis are like the mother. The Smriti Shastras are like the sister, the Puranas are like the brother. All of them, Shruti, Smriti and Puranas, all of them say that that Krishna should be worshipped, the bhakti should be performed to Krishna. So we'll recite this verse. Shrutir Mata Prishta Dishati Bhavat Aradhana Vidhim. యథా మాతుర్ వాణీ స్మృతిరపి తథా వక్తి భగిని. पुराणाद्या एवा सहज निवहास्ते तदनुगा अतः सत्यं ज्ञातं मुरहर भवान् एव शरणम्
When the mother Vedas, Shrutis, is questioned as to whom to worship, she says that you are the only Lord and worshipable object. Similarly, the corollaries of the Shruti Shastras, the Smriti Shastras give the same instruction, just like sisters. The Puranas, which are like brothers, follow in the footsteps of their mother. O enemy of the demon Mura, the conclusion is that you are the only shelter. Now I have understood this in truth.
So, Bhavan eva sharanam. So, you see that the comparison is also in the sense, because I heard like when the mother says, it can be in a little stern voice, when the mother gives instruction to the child, it may be a little, she may be giving instruction in a stern voice. So, in the Shrutis, Shrutis, they just give a direct instruction. Oh, ahim, ma ahim syat sarva bhutani. Like that, there is like a, there are no stories involved in the Shrutis. The direct instructions. So it is like a mother speaking to the, mother giving instruction to the child. But when the brothers and sisters convey the same instruction, it may be a little more in a pleasing manner, in the sense. It will not have that tone of that superior speaking to the inferior. So the Puranas and the Smriti Shastras, they give the same instruction in the form of the actually stories. They give the same instructions of the Shrutis in the form of the stories. So other analogies which are given are actually Shrutis are compared to the law book and Smritis are compared to the law journal. So law books contain only the laws which are like which will be a little difficult to read. The sense like Manu Samhita contains only the law book, just the laws. So it is a tough thing to read because it is directly attack the false ego. Do not do this. It will talk about the strengths and weakness in very clear words. But the law journals are more interesting to read. Law journals will say 1974, Ramesh Chaudhary from Allahabad, he filed a case against this person. This was the quarrel. And the opposite partner was Srinivas. Something like that, Srivastav. So there is a detailed, some stories given and then this judgment was given based on these laws. So the same laws are only given, but then because of the story format, it becomes more easier to understand. Or another analogy which is given is that Shrutis are like the lump of gold. But the Smritis, the Puranas, Itihasa, they are compared to the golden ornaments. Both are actually gold, but then ornaments are more beautiful to look out than the lump of gold. So Mahaprabhu is quoting, he is saying that this is the conclusion of all the Shrutis and the Sadhus. Advaya Jnana Tattva Krishna Swayam Bhagavana Swarupa Shakti Rupetandra Haya Avastana.
Krishna is non-dual absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Although he is one, he maintained different personal expansion and energies for his pastimes.
So Krishna, he is just explaining that Krishna is one, but he has many different potencies. He has different expansions for his pastimes. And he has different energies for his pastimes. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that about the potent and the potencies. So there is no difference between the potent and the potencies. They cannot be separated. They are actually identical. Krishna is the source of all the potencies. And then he's also explained, especially the Krishna's internal potency and Krishna himself are always identical. That Prabhupada is clearly mentioning. So then, then he talks about the two expansions of Krishna, Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. Swamsha Vibhinnamsha Rupe Haya Vistara Ananta Vaikunta Brahmande Karena Vihara.
Krishna expands himself in many forms. Some of them are personal expansion and some are separate expansions. Thus he performs pastime in both the spiritual and the material worlds. The spiritual world are the Vaikuntha planets and the material universe are the Brahmandas, gigantic globes governed by Lord Brahma.
So here, Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha, they are the two expansions of Krishna, and Krishna performs pastimes in the Vaikuntha and also in the different material universes. So then Mahaprabhu says that the quadruple expansions which come under the category of Swamsha, that is Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, so they descend as incarnations from Vaikuntha to the material world. But the Vibhinnamsha, they are the separated expansion, they are the living entities, and they are counted among his different potencies. So the Swamsha are actually, they come under the category of Vishnu Tattva. They come under the category of potent. But the Vibhinnamsha come under the category of potencies, the living entities. So Prabhupada in the purport, he essentially talks about how the living entity can never be God. Just trying to elaborate on that point, that the living entities apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param, and the living entities are Krishna's parts and parcels, and they basically try to lord it over nature, but they can never be God. And he says that a living entity cannot be on the level of a Vishnu Tattva at any stage. Therefore, it is ludicrous for a living entity to claim to be God. And then he explains, one of the purpose of ISKCON is to actually fight war against the bogus avatars. To fight war against the bogus avatars. So then one may think like fighting war means abhi kuch talwar nikalna hai. So we have to take a gun and sword. But Prabhupada cautions by saying that when Krishna was present, there were personalities like Paundraka who claimed to be God. So Krishna killed them. But as far as the devotees in ISKCON, we should not kill them, or we should defeat them based on the Shastra, not that physically kill them. So Prabhupada is just cautioning, otherwise one may overextend the meaning. So he says that all the devotees in ISKCON should be alert to defy the rascals who claim to be God, who mislead the whole world by claiming themselves to be God. So we can see one thing that even in that I was remembering that even that King Vena's story, that the Brahmanas, they initially tried to advise King Vena, and then when he did not listen to the advice, they chanted the mantra and killed King Vena. So Prabhupada writes in one purport that sometimes in the case of emergency, the Brahmanas should actually take part, and they should not be simply aloof in their own spiritual activity. They should actually, because the Brahmanas, they saw the suffering condition of the people, that's why they actually decided to interfere. And also they had only appointed King Vena. But Prabhupada writes, cautions in the purport, but in the case of the devotees, he says that indeed the Brahmanas do not even have the power to, so, but he says that, so at that time the Brahmanas, they chanted the mantras and killed King Vena. But presently the Brahmanas do not have the power to kill a person by chanting the mantras. They do not have the power to light a fire by chanting mantras. So under these circumstances, instead of actively taking part in politics, saintly persons should engage in chanting the Mahamantra Hare Krishna. By the grace of Lord Chaitanya, by simply chanting his Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the general populace can derive all benefits without political implications. So just like Prabhupada's warning in this purport, that we should defeat them by using based on Shastra and not kill, just like Krishna killed Paundraga. Actually, it is the duty of a government to punish all the imposter gods. But we cannot actually take the laws of the government. We should defeat them based on Shastra. Similarly, Prabhupada is writing there in the purport also that we should basically propagate the chanting of the holy names without actively taking part in the political implications, like that he explains. So then he says, so you see how the chapter is progressing is that Mahaprabhu is describing, so Krishna is the absolute truth, and he has different expansions and the different potencies for his pastimes, and he has two expansions, Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. And then he says, so the living entities come under the category of Vibhinnamsha. So then he further says from the 10th verse, but within the Vibhinnamsha, within the living entities also, there are two types. That is, Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha. So then Nitya Mukta is described in one verse, in the 11th verse. Nitya Mukta Nitya Krishna Charane Unmukha. Krishna Parishada Nama Bunjese Vasuka.
Those who are eternally liberated are always awakened to Krishna consciousness, and they render transcendental loving service at the feet of Lord Krishna. They are to be considered eternal associate of Krishna, and they are eternally enjoying the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna.
So Nitya Mukta, three qualities are explained. They are always awake to Krishna consciousness and render service to Krishna. That is Nitya Krishna Charane Unmukha. And second is that Krishna Parshada. They are actually eternal associates of Krishna. And third is that Bunje Seva Sukha. They are eternally enjoying the bliss of serving Krishna. So this is Nitya Mukta. Then in 12th to 15th verse, 12th to 16th verse, in 5 verses, Mahaprabhu describes the Nitya Baddha. Nitya Bandha Krishna Haite Nitya Bahir Mukha. Nitya Samsara Bunje Narakadi Dukha.
Apart from the ever-liberated devotees, there are the conditioned souls who always turn away from the service of the Lord. They are perpetually conditioned in this material world and are subjected to the material tribulation brought about by different bodily forms in hellish conditions.
So Nitya Baddha are actually, they are averse to service of Krishna. They are actually just going through the material existence in different hellish conditions. So then there is that famous one purport in the 11th canto in which Hridayananda Maharaj writes that about the Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha. He says that conditioned life is beginningless but not endless. And liberated life has a beginning but it is endless. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that conditioned life is beginningless but not endless. Conditioned life, however, is not endless, since the living entity may achieve liberation through the loving devotional service of the Lord. Liberated life has a beginning, but it is endless. So then, further he explains what is the condition of a living entity in the Nitya Baddha stage. Sei doshe maya pishachi danda kare tare. Adhyatmika adita patraya tare jari mare.
Due to his being opposed to Krishna consciousness, the conditioned soul is punished by the witch of the external energy, Maya. He is thus ready to suffer the threefold miseries, miseries brought about by the body and the mind, the animical behavior of other living entities, and natural disturbances caused by the demigods.
So here, how the living entity goes through actually different miseries are explained. And the 14th and 15th verse, he further explains how a living entity, a conditioned living entity, is actually kama krodhera dasa. He becomes a servant of the lust. And when the lusty desires are not fulfilled, then he becomes angry. He becomes a servant of anger. And in this way, tara lati kaya. So in this way, he becomes actually, kicked by the external energy, lati kaya. And brahmite brahmite yadi sadhu vaidya paya. In this way, he is actually transmigrating from one body to another body, one planet to another planet. Yadi sadhu vaidya paya. If he somehow meets a devotee physician, tandra upadesha mantre pishachi pulaya. By associating with such a devotee physician and by getting his instruction, tandra upadesha, upadesha mantre pishachi palaya, then the witch of the maya, external energy, may flee. Krishna bhakti paya, then he gets devotional service to Krishna, tabe Krishna nikataya, he comes close to Krishna. It's a very beautiful verse. And just like, I think this example of the devotee physician. Now there, I think the Lord is compared as a physician. The Prajeta's prayer. That Vayam tu Sakshat Bhagavan Bhavasya Priyasya Sakyur Kshanasangamena Sudishchukitsyasya Priyasya Mrityur Bishaktamam Twadyagatim Gatasma. So Prajeta's are saying to Lord Vishnu that because we have got the association of you, you are the best among all the physicians who can cure the most incurable disease of the material existence, the disease of material existence. Sudish Chukitsyasya Bhavasya Mrityur. How did we obtain your association? Because we had the association of Lord Shiva. Vayam tu Sakshat Bhagavan Bhavasya Priyasya Sakyur Kshanasangamena. Because we obtained the Kshanasangamena, we obtained the association of your dear friend or your dear devotee, Lord Shiva, for a very short time, Kshanasangamena. By that association, we have obtained your association. You are the best of all the physicians. And who can cure the most difficult disease of material existence. So here, but the devotee himself is covered, compared to a physician. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he gives a purport comparing Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha. So in the case of Nitya Mukta, what he explains is that Nitya Muktas are, they are untouched by the external energy. And then the second point he explains is that, especially the second paragraph, he says the second point is that the only business of Nitya Mukta is to enjoy Krishna's company without any stoppage. Then one may naturally get a question, to enjoy Krishna's company without any stoppage, That means Nitya Muktas will be only in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada writes, the next point he writes is that Nitya Muktas, yeah, they are in the spiritual world, but sometimes they also descend to the material world. Then if they descend to the material world, how will they enjoy Krishna's company without any stoppage? Therefore, Prabhupada writes that Nitya Muktas enjoy Krishna's company through his engagement in Krishna's service. It means like engagement in Krishna's service, it is equivalent to enjoying Krishna's company. They enjoy they come within the material world to serve the Lord's purpose, and they enjoy Lord Krishna's company without any stoppage. In this way, they enjoy Krishna's company through his engagement in Krishna's service. And then Nitya Baddha, what about the Nitya Baddha? Nitya Baddha, they are forced to transmigrate from one body to another body, from one planet to another planet, from different higher species to lower species. And then they go through the three different miseries of Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika. And the only hope for a Nitya Baddha living entity is to meet a saintly person. So that's what the verse is. So how when a Nitya Baddha, when he comes in contact with a devotee, when he actually gets Krishna Bhakti from the devotee, how does that Nitya Baddha pray? So for that an example is given in the next verse. This is a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas. Tesham jata mayina karuna natrapano pashanti. Utsrijaitan atayadupate sampratam labda buddhi. Tvamayata sharanam abayam mam niyungshvat madasye.
O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence have been awakened, and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me.
So this is a beautiful verse from the Nectar of Devotion. And so this verse is quoted when Rupa Goswami describes the different types of dasa. When he describes Dasya Rasa, he describes actually different types of servants of Krishna. Adhikrita Dasa means the appointed servants, Ashrita Dasa, and Parshad and Anuga. So when he describes Ashrita Dasa, those who have taken shelter of Krishna, so there he gives three categories. Seva Nishta, somebody remember, Gyani Chara. Basically, Seva Nishta is one who has been engaged in Krishna's service right from the beginning. And another category is that those who are previously engaged in sense gratification and then they actually understood, oh, Krishna should be the goal, Krishna Bhakti should be performed, and then they take shelter of Krishna. And another is that those who are previously engaged in impersonal liberation, And then they come to understand that Krishna Bhakti is the goal, and then they start performing Krishna Bhakti. So these three types of, these three subcategories are given within the Ashrita. Ashrita means those who have taken shelter of Krishna. Within that, three subcategories are given. Sharanagata, Jnani Chara, and Sevanishta. Sharanagata means those who are previously engaged in sense gratification, those who are previously in Maya, and then they took shelter of Krishna. And Jnani Chara is those who are previously engaged in impersonal liberation and they took shelter of Krishna. Sevanishta is those who are engaged in service of Krishna right from the beginning. So as an example of Sharanagata, this verse is given by Rupa Goswami. But here, this just is explained here. How this verse is given for how even a Nitya Baddha comes in contact with a saintly person when he gets Krishna Bhakti from such a devotee. And then when he takes shelter of Krishna, he offers such a prayer. So therefore, he comes in the category of Sharanagata. So having described the Nitya Muktas and Nitya Baddha. So basically from 7th verse till the 16th verse is a description of Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha. So in order to come to Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha, he starts with, Krishna has two types of expansion, Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha, and then Vibhinnamsha, and there are two types of living entities, Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha, and then he describes Nitya Mukta and then Nitya Baddha. So then having described this, now from the 17th till the, we can say till the 30th verse. So Nitya Baddha, when he comes in contact with the devotee, he gets the process of bhakti and then he actually starts practicing bhakti. So now from the 17th verse till the 30th verse, Mahaprabhu is saying that devotional service is the chief process for getting deliverance from this material existence. So that is the theme of the next till the 30th verse. And then he quotes several verses to actually support this. Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana.
Devotional service to Krishna is the chief function of the living entity. There are different methods for the liberation of the conditioned soul, karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti, but all are dependent on bhakti.
So here we can, just before going to this verse, the 16th verse. So you see this devotee's prayer is actually so profound. He's saying that I have been rendering service to the different lusty desires, different anarthas, for such a long time. I have been serving these masters, these kama, krodha, etc., for such a long time without any shame. I have rendered so much of service without any shame. I never even desired to give them up. But what master, like, how did these masters reward to me? But these masters, they have actually only exploited me. I never even desired to give them up. But of course he doesn't explicitly mention, but they have not shown any mercy to me. I rendered so much of service, I never desired to give them up. I served them without any shame. But these masters have not shown any mercy to me. But now my intelligence has been awakened, so therefore I refuse to obey the unwanted desires of these desires, unwanted orders of these desires. Now I want to surrender to Krishna. So we can see another comparison. The devotee is praying that this devotee has put so much of effort to serve these masters, but the result which he has got is not got any mercy. That means, so in the material life, the result is disproportionate to the effort. You put so much of effort, but the result is actually disproportionate. And in the spiritual life also, exactly the same, this one. That you put little effort, But because Krishna is actually so merciful, he reciprocates immensely. Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyate. And that's what Sudama pastime also tells, that Sudama was thinking that I rendered very little service. I just got, gave this little bit of puffed rice, but Krishna gave so much in return. On the other hand, Krishna considered whatever he gave so much in return, that to be very insignificant. And he considered my insignificant service to be so much that he felt that I cannot repay this. So there is a beautiful verse in the demigod's prayers to Lord Vishnu in the 8th canto. Klesha bhuri alpasarani karmani vifalani va dehinam vishayartanam na tataivarpitam tvayi. 8.5.47 and 48. That demigods are saying that activities performed for you are not like the activities of persons desiring material enjoyment, which require great effort but which yield little or no result. Klesha bhuri alpasarani and karmani vifalani va. On the other hand, the next verse, how the Lord rewards disproportionately. Nayama karma kalpopi vifala yeshvara arpita kalpate purushasyaiva sahyatma dayito hitaha. Even a small shadow of action offered to the Lord does not go in vain. The Lord is affectionate to the person and acts as his benefactor. So this is like another contrast. So, yeah, going to the next verse. So, Mahaprabhu says that all the processes are dependent on bhakti. 18th verse. Yei sabha sadhanera ati tuchya bala. Krishna bhakti vinataha ditena refala.
Without devotional service, all other methods for spiritual self-realization are weak and insignificant. Unless one comes to the devotional service of Lord Krishna, jnana and yoga cannot give the desired results.
So basically he says that other processes cannot give results without coming in contact with bhakti. So Prabhupada in the purport, he explains that karma, jnana and yoga cannot actually awaken love of Godhead. One has to take to loving devotional service. And the more a person becomes inclined for devotional service, the more a person loses interest in other processes or the results of the other processes. As an example, he quotes Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, he says that he went to practice mystic yoga to see the Lord personally. But when he developed an interest in devotional service, he saw that he was not being benefited by the other processes. So usually in most of the purports, Prabhupada tells about Dhruva Maharaj went with a desire to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And then when he practiced bhakti, when he saw darshan of the Lord, he lost interest in that the material benediction of getting a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. But in this purport, Prabhupada is saying that Dhruva Maharaj went to practice mystic yoga. But when he developed interest in bhakti, he lost interest in the other processes. So here he gives, he saw that he was not being benefited by the other processes. So then he gives two quotations. One quotation from the first canto, we'll recite together. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam nashobate jnanamalam niranjanam. Kutapunar Shashvadalabhadramishvare Nacharpitam Karma Yadapyakaranam.
When pure knowledge is beyond all material affinity but is not dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, it does not appear very beautiful, although it is knowledge without a material tinge. What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of Lord, how can they be very attractive?
So you see that like Dhruva Maharaj, he practiced the right process of bhakti but with the wrong motive. The person practices right process with the wrong motive, then one may get purified. But if a person practices the wrong process, but even with a pure motive, that motive can get corrupted. So Bhagavatam's recommendation is that akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharati. It does not matter what one's motivation is that, but you practice the right process to worship the Supreme Lord. That is what the Bhagavatam's recommendation is. So then another quotation is from the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami's prayer. Tapasvino dana parayashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala kshemanna vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai shubhadra shravase namo namaha.
Those who perform severe austerities and penances, those who give away all their possession out of charity, those who are very famous for their auspicious activity, those who are engaged in meditation and mental speculation, and even those who are very expert in reciting the Vedic mantras are not able to obtain any auspicious result, although they are engaged in auspicious activities, if they do not dedicate their activity to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I therefore repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are always auspicious.
So especially this word is kshemam na vindanti vinayadarpanam. That is the key line in this verse. That all these other people, they will not obtain these results, this mantra vida, dana para, tapasvina, except by offering the results to Krishna. And the next verse, Mahaprabhu says that, especially explains that practicing jnana without bhakti will not lead to liberation. Kevala jnana mukti dite nare bhakti vine. Krishnon mukhe sei mukti hoya vina jnane.
Speculative knowledge alone without devotional service is not able to give liberation. On the other hand, even without knowledge, one can obtain liberation if one engages in the Lord's devotional service.
So Prabhupada, he says that a person may be actually practicing jnana, if he does not practice bhakti, then he definitely, if he thinks that he is as good as the Supreme Lord, one will definitely fall down again to the material platform because of considering oneself the Supreme Person. But when such a jnani comes in contact with a pure devotee, if he starts practicing bhakti, then he can actually become liberated from material bondage and engage in the Lord's service. And he quotes Bilwamangal Thakur's prayer to show that how Mukti Devi is standing at the doorstep of a devotee who is engaged in bhakti. Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevatesman. So then the next verse, which is explained, is from Brahmaji's prayer. Shreyashritim bhakti mudasya te vibho klishyanti ye kevala bodha labdaye nishamasau kleshalaye vashishyate nanyat yata stula tushava gati nam.
My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is only auspicious path. If one give it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living beings are spirit soul and the material world is false, he undergoes a great deal of trouble. He only gains troublesome and inauspicious activities. His endeavors are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. His labor becomes fruitless.
So Brahmaji says that when a person gives up the process of bhakti, so this verse is like very similar to the Bhagavad Gita verse, Klesho Adhika Tarastesham. Then one has to practice the other processes which involve a great effort, So not only you put great effort, but we don't practice bhakti, then ultimately you don't get the result also. It is like a beating an empty husk, which involves great effort, and then ultimately you don't get the grain also. So you're not only you are getting the result, but you end up spending so much of energy. So then Mahaprabhu quotes Daivi Khesha Gunamai, and he says that the effect of Maya, and a living entity is bound by the Maya, then he forgets that he is an eternally a servant of Krishna. 25th verse. Tate Krishna Bhaje Kare Guru Rasevana Maya Jala Chute Paya Krishnera Charana.
If the conditioned soul engage in the service of Lord and simultaneously carries out the orders of a spiritual master and serve him, he can get out of the clutches of Maya and becomes eligible for shelter at lotus Krishna's lotus feet.
So he basically, these verses, the Mahaprabhu, what he is explaining is that how the Nitya Mukta can come out of the bondage. Sorry, Nitya Baddha can come out of the bondage by practicing bhakti. So here he says that one should worship Krishna and serve the spiritual master to come out of the clutches of Maya. And then he quotes two verses. Like he says that, he explains that result of practicing Varnashram Dharma but not worshipping Krishna is that a person goes to the Raurava hill. Swakarma karite sei Raurava padi maje. Raurave, of course, Prabhupada translates this in a hellish condition, a general term. But essentially he says that even if a person practices Varnashram but does not worship Krishna, he goes to a hellish condition. And then he quotes two verses from the 11th canto. Mukabahuru, the first verse says that how the different varnas and ashramas, they actually come from the different bodily parts of the Supreme Lord. The brahmanas and the sannyasis, they come from the head of the Lord. And the kshatriyas and the grihasthas, the brahmanical order, the kshatriyas are the arms of the Lord. Vaishyas are the waist of the Lord. Shudras have come from his legs. So similarly, the brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, they also come from the different parts of the body of the Lord. So therefore, then the 28th verse is important. Therefore, if all these varnas and ashramas, if they do not worship the Supreme Lord, they fall to the hellish condition. Yayesham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajantya vajananti sthanat brashta patantyadaha.
If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashramas but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from his puffed up position into a hellish condition.
So here, na bhajanti avajananti. Na bhajanti means those people who out of ignorance do not worship the Supreme Lord. And avajananti means that those who have been actually informed of the supreme position of the Lord, but still they disrespect the Lord. So, na bhajanti avajananti. So, that is the meaning given by the acharyas. So, sthanat brashta patantyadaha. And also, Vishnu Chakravarti says that actually the original cause of offending the Lord and falling down from one's position is actually one's not learning how to properly worship a bona fide spiritual master. So he explains the root cause. He says that because of not worshipping a bona fide spiritual master, then a person offends the Supreme Lord. Then even though he may be practicing all the Varnashram Dharma, he actually falls down. So without the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, even a so-called religious man will gradually become atheistic, offend the Lord, by foolish speculation and fall into a hellish condition of life. So this is from the purport of the 11th canto. Yeah, next verse. Jnani jivan mukta dasha painu karimane. Vastuta buddhi shuddha nahe Krishna bhakti vine.
There are many philosophical speculators, jnanis, belonging to the Mayavada school, who consider themselves liberated and call themselves Narayana. But their intelligence is not purified unless they engage in Krishna's devotional service.
So this is like a Yenye Aravindaksha Vimukta Manina. So these people, they think themselves to be liberated. But actually they are vimukta manina, they think themselves to be liberated, but they are averse to patantyado anadrita yushmadangraya. They have rejected the lotus feet of Krishna, but they are actually not liberated, they are actually conditioned. On the other hand, the devotees think themselves to be conditioned, but they are actually liberated. Krishna Chakotipat writes this point in one purport, that devotees think themselves to be conditioned, but they are actually liberated. So, 31st verse, a famous verse. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikara.
Krishna is compared to sunshine, and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion will immediately vanish.
So he says that when a person becomes Krishna conscious, there are two results. A person becomes situated in sattva guna, the lower modes disappear. And second result is that Maya cannot touch a person. So there's this verse from the Chatushloki Bhagavatam is also quoted by Prabhupada in the purport. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows, for in the light there are neither shadows nor reflections. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse from the second canto. Mahaprabhu quotes this verse. We'll recite together. Vilajyamana yayasya statum yikshapate muya vimohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyaha.
The external illusionary energy of Krishna, known as Maya, is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. Thus they simply boast that this material world is theirs and that they are its enjoyers.
So this verse says that Maya is ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, and the Maya actually bewilders the living entity, and when the bewildered living entity talks only in terms of me and mine. Mamaham iti durdiyaha. So Prabhupada talks about, he quotes a verse from the second canto, 7th chapter, 47th verse. That verse talks about the nature of the absolute Brahman. What is realized is the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate face of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He is eternally devoid of all disturbances, fearless, completely conscious as opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. Then the 33rd verse, Mahaprabhu says, how to be freed from Maya? So in order to be freed from Maya, one should simply say with sincerity and seriousness, one should simply say to Krishna that I am your servant. I am your sincere and serious servant. If a person says this with sincerity and seriousness, immediately one will be freed from Maya. Krishna tomar haya yadi bale ekabara. Maya bandha haite Krishna tare kare para.
One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service.
Then Mahaprabhu quotes this verse. This is the Charama Shloka of Ramayana. There are actually three Charama Shlokas in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Krishna Charama Shloka, Ram Charama Shloka and Varaha Charama Shloka. I have not found out which is the Varaha Charama Shloka, but the Krishna Charama Shloka is Sarvadharman Parityajya and Ram Parama Charama Shloka is this verse. Sakradeva Prapannoya Stavasmi Iti Yachate Avayam Sarvada Tasmai Dadam Yetad Vratam Mama. The same verse which is quoted to just to prove this point. So then then Mahaprabhu says that the actual intelligent person is one who actually takes to Krishna consciousness. He may be a bhukti kami or a mukti kami, but if a person takes to devotional service intensely, he is considered to be the actual intelligent person. So he quotes Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. So we can say, like, I think till the 36th verse, from 17th to 36th verse, so Mahaprabhu explained that how the devotional service is the chief process, 17th to 36th verse is the chief process to get out of the clutches of Maya. Now from the 37th verse, 37th to 42nd verse, 37th to 42nd verse, Mahaprabhu describes the merciful nature of Krishna. How he describes is that even if a devotee approaches Krishna with some material desire, how Krishna actually purifies that, not only satisfies that devotee's desire, but he also purifies the persons of those material desires, and then finally a devotee desires nothing but service to Krishna. So that is what Mahaprabhu describes in 37th verse. Anya kami yadi kare krishne ra bhajana namagiteha krishna tare dena swacharana.
If those who desires material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the absolute truth engage in Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful.
So these are the famous verses. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishaya suka. Amrita chadi visha mage yei bada murka.
Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison.
Ami vigya yei murke vishaya kene diba. Swacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiba.
Since I am a very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusionary material enjoyment.
So Prabhupada describes in the purport, he just explains that how Krishna deals with a foolish devotee. This foolish devotee is one who engages in devotional service but at the same time desiring some material opulence. Huh. So Krishna actually, how does Krishna deal with such a foolish devotee? Krishna definitely satisfies his desire, but he satisfies his desire in such a way that he does not desire that desire again. Like, he becomes purified of those desires. Krishna, being intelligent, engages him in his devotional service in such a way that he gradually forgets material opulence. So the point is that we should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. It's like that. So then the famous verse from the demigods' prayers glorifying the Bharat Varsha. So that verse is quoted. Yeah, you had some part?
Prabhuji, there is so many times references that Muktim Dadati Karachitsmana Bhakti Yoga. So he will give easily other things but not Bhakti Yoga. So many times it's mentioned because it says he become, you know, purchased, so he doesn't give bhakti so easily. But here, immediately, even they come for other purposes, but immediately giving bhakti, is making other forgets. So is there any difference?
One thing we can say is that, like, the Bhagavatam verse is explained, akama sarva kamava mokshakama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena. One has to perform intense devotional service. There is intense devotional service, then even though a person may be sarvakama or mokshakami, he becomes purified. But sometimes a person is just performing some casual devotional service. So maybe Krishna will give that, but then because he himself is casual in his approach, then he may not get purified.
So this point,
So
the akam sarvakamava, the point which Tivrena Bhakti Yoga is from a sadhaka's perspective. So the two verses which we are thinking from Krishna's perspective. So means this verse is referred to those who are serious in their goal. Is it that?
From Krishna's perspective.
I mean, Krishna will give one, will help us forget all these things when we are serious in the goal.
Yeah, in the sense Krishna always actually gives his, like, we can understand this way, like, Krishna always, even when a devotee approaches Krishna with a material desire, Krishna gives the taste of devotional service, Krishna gives us the higher taste, Krishna gives shelter at his lotus feet, but still the devotee has the free will, that person has the free will. Like, I think the third canto, that Kapila Dev section, that verse comes, that sometimes a immature yogi, although he actually sees the super soul, but he again takes the mind from the super soul. And such a yogi is considered very unfortunate, even though having attained the shelter of the Lord, but still again actually takes out his mind from the Lord. So this verse shows that Krishna gives that higher taste. So but still the free will can be there with the living entity. And usually, definitely a devotee, when he gets the higher taste, he will stop aspiring for the other things. The example which is given is of Dhruva Maharaj. Even though he had the highest material ambition, but when he got darshan of Krishna, when he got the higher taste of devotional service, he compared the previous highest ambition to be like a broken piece of glass. This definitely shows that Krishna gave his taste of his lotus feet.
If you don't care, take care of the upashakas,
Then
who is saying your bhakti lata will be choked. So how to connect with this? Because they are telling, even if you have other motivations, also Krishna will free you from that.
Yeah, one has to be careful. See, these examples like especially in the case of the devotees who have knowledge of, like when we have the knowledge of what is pure devotional service, what are the goals, so then when if you are not careful of these other upashakas, other weeds, so then those who have the knowledge, they are supposed to be more responsible. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, yeah, he had definitely that material desire is like the weed, we can say. But he was just a small child, and he got a lot of education on this. So therefore, but because he performed intense devotional service, so even though he had the weed of material desires, so that got actually uprooted, that got purified.
Just for sake of that, isn't it seems like that here the Lord is telling, okay, come to me, like advertisement, okay, glories of bhakti, just one taking shelter, you will get freed everything.
Yeah, it is advertisement, but not a, it is a true advertisement.
Yeah, just like, yeah, just the point is I was to tell is that, like they do advertisement, come here, special discount, concession, all this thing, Diwali offer, but sometimes condition applied is there. So it looks like here he is doing advertisement, and when he says that Upashaka is there, all these are like conditions applied.
No, it's not, any conditions are not given. It's a, so that is, I'm saying Upashaka, so that's from the point of a person who is practicing sadhana bhakti, that how one has to be very careful of the weeds. One has to uproot the weeds while practicing sadhana bhakti. So in these verses, the mood of these verses is that it is encouraging that the merciful nature of the Lord, that the merciful nature of the Lord is like even if a person approaches the Lord with a material desire, the Lord actually gives his own actually charanamrita, and then he forgets that material desires. So we need not actually mix those two. That by understanding the merciful nature of the Lord, like we have to become more enthusiastic for bhakti and uproot those weeds. That is how the Prabhupada actually writes in the purport. He says that the real, he explains that the real surrender, surrender means that not that we demand something from the Lord, but that we completely depend on His mercy. So like that he concludes that purport. Would you like to add anything?
Hare Krishna. See, the Lord says, Matta Smitanyanam Apohanam Cha. The living entity, all of us have Lord in our heart. Lord says, I will give you Smriti to come back to me, or I will give you Apohanam to forget me so that you can enjoy the material world. Some material desire is lingering in your mind. So I see that and I provide you facility for enjoyment, become a dog or a cat or whatever. Or he says, I give you the jnanam, like dadami buddhi yogam tam. And I may give you knowledge by which you can understand me and come back to me. So he also says, I can give you smriti, he says, remembrance. How many of you had experience that you were about to commit a blunder and immediately you got a good intelligence at that time? Correct, no? So Lord gives the smriti, remembrance at the right time also for devotee. So this is actually a neutral Lord. When does the neutral Lord become a Lord who is, you know, inclined to help his devotee? That is only when a devotee starts rendering devotional service. When a devotee, Lord says, Tesham Satata Yuktana Bhajatam Preeti Purvakam. See, these are the conditions that apply. Tesham Satata Yuktana. A devotee is constantly engaged in devotion service. And Bhajatam Preeti Purvakam. He lovingly tries to offer that service also. And for him, what I do, I give you the jnanam. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. Yenamapyantate. Because my devotee is doing these things towards me, in reciprocation, I do that for my devotee. Similarly, satatam kirtayantoma. Yatantascha dadabrataha. Namasyantascha mambhakta. Nityakta upas. These are all the activities and qualities of the devotee. Lord is glorifying. So in this way, if a devotee is performing devotion service, assume that such a devotee suddenly gets a material desire. The Lord observes that the devotee is getting a material desire. Like for example, sometimes a child looks at some mitai, it's covered with some flies and everything. He develops a desire for it, you know. But Lord knows that my devotee is developing a low-class desire. It's not good. So for him, the Lord says, Svacharanamritadiya Vishayabalaiba, the Lord says. So I will give him the sweetness of my lotus feet and I will make him forget. What is the example? Chintamani example, isn't it? Now Billu Mangal is actually supposed to be a pure devotee and he is hanging around with Chintamani. And then Chintamani speaks one sharp words, which is actually called Yukti, we call it. Yukti are the sharp words used by a sadhu. Chintamani, how she used those words, only Lord knows. You know, Lord used the situation in life of Bilva Mangala and diverted him to come to Vrindavan. And then Swacharanamritadiya. Lord says, now you take my Charanamrita. And then Bilva Mangala is crying, you know, tears of love, and he's blind, but the Lord is catching him by the hand and leading him. In this way, Lord has given his Charanamrita to Bilva Mangala. In the same manner, there are innumerable examples in Shastra where a devotee is going for some lower desire and the Lord is taking him away. Now you may say, why don't the Lord do the same for all living entities? Sorry, sir. Lord says, I cannot do because they have not done devotion service to me. This is only for those who are doing devotion service. That is why Prabhupada is calling such a devotee as a foolish devotee. So which means amongst devotees also somebody can be foolish also. Foolish means even after knowing Krishna is everything, still one can desire something material, some low class desire. Lord, like mother or father may give a slap to a child, you know, don't desire this. So Lord may sometimes slap a devotee and take him to his lotus feet. Now, in the case of pure devotees, as Prabhuji was telling before also, Nitya Siddha Bhaktas, one of their prerogatives is they are never forgetful of the Lord. They always remember the Lord. They are never allured by Maya. They are fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord. They are very steady. But because we are Nitya Bhaktas, you know, we take the side of whomever you are associating. If you associate with great devotees, we also cry tears. Hey, Krishna, Rama, Govinda. And then if you see Maya, then we are also like attracted to Maya in the outside world. So, when Lord is so merciful that if you are going towards Maya, Lord gives a slap and brings us to the right path. Just like you see the Yamunacharya. You know, he was becoming a too busy materialistic king and the Lord arranged him to become an Acharya. He became a great Acharya. In this way, Lord is very merciful to his devotees. And now he was asking the question, you know, muktim dadati karichichman abhakti yogam. Actually, this is very similar to Vyajastuti. Also, if you see, sometimes it is a don't go to the bank of Yamuna, you know, and don't see that blue boy who's playing on his flute on a night of, correct, he says, no? So, whenever you say like that, then everybody, some people have a habit that whatever you say, don't do, they do it. You know? So, the whole idea of that shloka is to inspire us to do it. Similarly, when you say, muktim dadati, are Bhagavan, mukti bhi de dete hain, then people understand, till now I was thinking mukti is ultimate. This verse proves that the bhakti is superior to mukti also. Similarly, there another verse, naikatma tame sprihyanti kejin, matpada seva abhirata madiha, yanyonyato bhagavata prasajya, sabajente mamapaurushani. There he says, my devotees, see Lord is so proud of his devotees, he's saying, my devotees, my devotees will never desire to merge in me. If somebody wants to merge in me, he is not my devotee, Lord says. But what they desire? Mat pada seva, he says. They only desire service to my lotus feet. Abhirata, they always want to be engaged in my service. Madiha, and they are hankering to attain me, he says. So in this way, if we hanker to attain Krishna, if we want to be engaged in Krishna's service, if you like the association of devotees, then we are counted as devotees. And while being a devotee, if you are foolish, we are likely to get a slap. God may slap and then we will bring, because we are trying to be devotees. So the special quota is available, Swacharanamritya, Amrita Bulaiba, for whom? Only those who are endeavoring to be devotees. Somebody is not endeavoring to be devotees, for him Paramatma is there. Apohanam, Matta Smriti Jnanam. So he is not under anyone's custody. So Prabhupada gives example, a king is very charitable to all, but to his own son, he will buy a very special dress and keep it in the bureau. When son comes, he will take it out and give him. But for others, he will give regular charity, you know, which is not of that high quality. But for son, he has deserved a very special dress. Just like parents, when they go in the train, they carry hot prasadam for the child. But for beggars, they have some yesterday kasuka roti they have, correct, no? I give everybody. So because you are a devotee, Lord is saying that the special facility you have. So we should consider this as a loving gesture from the Lord. Like, you know, being pinched by your mother is not same as being whipped by the police with a belt. You know, Maya is whipping everybody with a belt, but we are lovingly being pinched by Krishna. You see?
So, then Mahaprabhu quotes Dhruva Maharaj's prayer that Swamin Krita Tosmi Varamna Yache. So Dhruva Maharaj, seeing the comparison of Dhruva Maharaj and Vyasdev, Dhruva Maharaj had complete selfishness, but he started practicing bhakti. So selfishness with connection to Krishna, he became ultimately purified of that selfishness. On the other hand, Vyasdev, when he compiled all the Vedas, when he wrote all the Puranas, wrote the Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, he did not have even a tinge of selfishness. He only had a selfless attitude for the benefit of all the future people of Kali Yuga. He felt that Kali Yuga people don't have the memory, so that he decided to write down and then decided to compile. And he felt the Kali Yuga people will not have the ability to understand the Vedas, so he wrote the Puranas, Mahabharata, the less intelligent people. So therefore he only had an attitude of complete selflessness, but that selflessness without connection to Krishna, the result was that he was dissatisfied. He had complete selflessness, but because in his activities, he was not properly connected to Krishna. He did not exclusively glorify the Lord. Vyasadeva became dissatisfied even though performing so many activities of selflessness. On the other hand, Dhruva Maharaj, he had intense selfishness to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma and to take revenge against his stepmother. But because he was connected to Krishna, and then ultimately he became completely satisfied. Swamin Kritartosmi Varam Na Yache. I do not desire anything else. I am just satisfied with whatever I have. Like, I do not desire anything. So this shows that that connection to Krishna, that is the most important thing. The comparison between Dhruva Maharaj and Vyasadeva. So now from the 43rd to 55th verse, Mahaprabhu describes how does a person attain devotional service. Essentially by the association of devotees. So for that, from 43rd to 55th verse, he gives several quotations how by association of devotees a person gets devotional service. 43rd verse. Samsare bramite kona bhagya ke khatare nadira pravahe yena kashtalage tire.
The conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets of the universe, entering various phases of life. By good fortune, one of these souls may somehow or other be delivered from the ocean of nisance. Just as one of the many big logs in it. Flowing river may be chance, may by chance reach the bank.
So a beautiful example is given that sometimes a big log of wood which is flowing in a river, by chance it may reach the bank. It's a very rare chance. So similarly, a conditioned soul who is transmigrating from one body to another body, by chance, by some good fortune, he may come in contact with a devotee of the Lord, or he may be delivered from the ocean of nescience by the devotee of the Lord. So that rarity of actually crossing this material ocean, just like the rarity of that wood crossing the material ocean, coming to the shore is actually very rare. The rarity of a conditioned soul crossing this materialistic existence, so that is explained with the prayer of Akrura, or the thought of Akrura in the 44th verse. We'll recite together. Maivam mama damasyapi syadyeva chuta darshanam kriyamana kala nadya kvachit tarati kashana.
Because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance, a person as fallen as I am may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore.
So Akrura, when he was coming to meet Krishna, was thinking that how rare it is to get the darshan of Krishna. Next verse. Kona bhagye karo samsara kshayon mukahaya sadhu sangata be krishna rati upajaya.
By good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nescience. And when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened.
So Prabhupada says there are three types of sukritis. Bhaktyonmukhi sukriti, bhogonmukhi sukriti, and mokshonmukhi sukriti. Mokshonmukhi sukriti means pious activities by which a living entity can merge into the impersonal Brahman. Bhaktyonmukhi sukriti means pious activities by which a living entity can enjoy material sense gratification. Bhaktyonmukhi sukriti is pious activities by which a person can come in contact with the devotees, start practicing bhakti. So although all these three are called as sukriti, but Prabhupada explains, but the really actual fortunate person is one who has bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. The other two, a person who has other two sukritis is not considered actually fortunate. Because real pious activities, a person is considered fortunate when his pious activities help a person to become Krishna conscious. Because bhogonmukhi and mokshonmukhi sukriti, they don't help a person to become Krishna conscious. They are not considered, one who has them is not considered fortunate. Then another verse spoken by Muchukunda to Lord Krishna. Sometimes sukriti means pious activity, but he just giving a, even in the pious activity also there are some pious activities in material platform, some are in a spiritual platform, that is bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Some places, like when it's explained, the chaturvidha bhajante imam jana sukriti no arjuna. So there the acharyas point out, here the sukriti refers to especially the pious activities of devotional service. They point out that in general it means actually pious activities, but in certain verses like chaturvidha bhajante imam, it refers to especially devotional sukriti. That is pointed out by the acharyas. Depending on the context, we have to think. So this is a famous verse of Muchukunda. Bhavapavargo brahmato yada bhave ಜನಸ್ಯತರ್ಹ್ಯಚ್ಯುತ ಸತ್ಸಂಗಮ ಸತ್ಸಂಗಮೋ ಯರ್ಹಿ ತದೈವ ಸದ್ಗತೌ ಪರಾವರೇಷೇ ತ್ವಯಿ ಜಾಯತೆ ರತಿಃ.
ಓ ಮೈ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಓ ಇನ್ಫಾಲಿಯಬಲ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ವೆನ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ವಂಡರಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಔಟ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಹಸ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಎಲಿಜಿಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್, ಹಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅನ್ ಅಪಾರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಟು ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಹಿಸ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಯು ಈಸ್ ಅವೇಕನ್. ಯು ಆರ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಎಟ್ ದ ಹೈಯೆಸ್ಟ್ ಗೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಟಾಪ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್.
ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅತಿಶಯೋಕ್ತಿ. Remember that there in the Bhagavatam purport, sometimes when the it's explained that when the material life ends, then a person gets the association of devotees. But actually Jiva Goswami says when a person gets the association of devotees, then the material life ends. Then why it is mentioned other way around? Because when the cause is, he says that when the, like, in order to emphasize the he says, Jiva Goswami explained the apparent inversion of the sequence by quoting the Kavya Prakash, a statement in which the logical order of a cause and its effect is reversed should be understood as Atishayokti. To express the swift action of a cause, one may assert the result before the cause. So actually the cause is the association of devotees and the material life ends. But in order to show how swiftly the result comes by associating with the devotee, so therefore the result is mentioned first.
Like love matra sadhu sangha.
No, there, like, that is just emphasizing on sadhu sangha. But here, the point here is that there is a cause and the effect. Usually you have to mention because of this cause and the effect happens. But here the effect is mentioned first and the cause is mentioned later. The reason is that in order to emphasize the swift action of a cause, the effect is mentioned before the cause. Effect is mentioned as if it is the cause.
Yes, sometimes there is an example actually. So sometimes we say that he is so fast that before light get off, by switching off, he lies down before only. So he's so fast. But this is never happens. I mean, but just to show that he's so fast, so we give Atishyokti that, you know. But always he will switch off the light. Light will, because the speed of light is more than, you know, that person. But he's so fast that before, you know, switch off the light, he will lie down. He will switch off and lie down.
Actually, what happens is we switch off and then a person lies down.
This gives the example for the Bruce Lee. There was a fighter, so he was so fast that as soon as he says, before he will lie down.
Oh,
but this never happened.
Okay, nice example to understand.
They have to re-cook the prasad. Milega ki nahi, everybody is discussing. And then you got a coupon, that means you got prasad. No, but abhi tak mil hi gaya aapko, kyunki coupon hai na aapke paas. So we only have paper chit, but that is equal to prasadam plate, which is eventually going to come.
So, next verse, Mahaprabhu says that how Krishna is situated as the Chaitya Guru, and Krishna, when he sees the living entity is actually serious about him, then Krishna guides him to a spiritual master, and he instructs the living entity to practice, to engage in devotional service. In this way, Krishna acts like a guru from within, as the super soul, and also from without as the spiritual master. So he quotes this verse from Uddhava's praise to Krishna. Naivopayantyapachitim kavayastavesha ब्रह्मायुषापि कृतमृद्धमुदस्मरन्त योऽन्तर्बहिस्तनुभृतामशुभं विदुन्वन् आचार्य चैत्य वपुषा स्वगतिं व्यनक्ति.
ओ माय लॉर्ड, ट्रांसेंडेंटल पोएट्स एंड एक्सपर्ट्स इन द स्पिरिचुअल साइंस कुड नॉट फुली एक्सप्रेस देयर इनडेप्थनेस टू यू इवन इफ दे वर एंडोर्ड विद द प्रोलॉन्ग्ड लाइफटाइम ऑफ ब्रह्मा. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Super Soul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you.
So we'll just take a break and then we'll continue. Uh-huh. Till he gets association of devotees. When he gets the association of devotee, as long as he doesn't get association of devotee, he is Nitya Baddha. He begins his devotional service. And that's why I mentioned conditioned life is beginningless, but it is not endless. And he starts devotional service. Living in. When he begins bhakti, then when he perfects, then he becomes Nitya Mukta. Ajnana Sukriti. sadhu sange krishna bhakti shraddhaya dehaya bhakti phala premahaya samsaraya yakshaya
by associating with a devotee one awakens his faith in devotional service to krishna because of devotional service one's dormant love for krishna awakens and thus one's material conditional existence comes to an end
so sadhu sangha by which faith is awakened then the one's dormant love for krishna is awakened then the material existence ends so four stages यद्रच्छया मत कतादौ जात श्रद्धस्तु यह पुमान न निर्विन्नो नाति सक्तो भक्ति योगोस्य सिद्धिदा
If one is attracted to the talks about me and has faith in the instruction I have set forth in the Bhagavad Gita, and if one is neither falsely detached from material things nor very much attracted to material existence, His dormant love for me will be awakened by devotional service.
So here it's explained that this is like another verse which talks about the qualification for bhakti is that one should have attraction for Krishna Katha. One should neither be too much detached nor be too much attached. Then a person's one will be a devotional service will be awakened. महत् कृपा विना कोण कर्मे भक्ति नया कृष्ण भक्ति दूरे रहु संसार न हे क्षय
Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence.
So main the point the theme of this section is that a person obtains devotional service by the association of a devotee by the mercy of a devotee mahat kripa to say nothing of krishna bhakti one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence So without a pure devotee's mercy, one cannot even escape the bondage of material existence. Even for, not just for Krishna Prem, even for getting out of the bondage of material existence, even for getting liberation, one has to get the mercy of a pure devotee. So that is what is explained here. So then two verses are quoted. One is from Jadabharat, when Rahugan Maharaj asked Jadabharat, How did you come to such a great position? How did you actually obtain such love for the Supreme Lord? So Jadabharat is telling to Rahugan Maharaj, Rahu gunaita tapasana yati na chejaya nirvapanat grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair vina mahatpadarajobhishekam
O King Rahugana, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahajan or Mahatma, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to attain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, by joyously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulation of the sannyas or grahastha order, nor it is attained by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water or exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight
so vina mahatpada rajobhishekam and the same point is emphasized through Prahlad Maharaj's words to Hiranyakashipu so we'll recite this verse also naisham matistava durukramangrim sprishatyanarto pagamo yadarta महीयशाम पादरजोभिषेकम् निष्किंचनानाम् नवृणीतयावत्
Unless human society accept the dust of the lotus feet of a great Mahatmas, devotees who have nothing to do with the material possessions, mankind cannot turn in its attainment to the lotus feet of Krishna, its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted, miserable condition of material life.
So Prabhupada in the purport, he gives the context in which the verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu, and he speaks this famous verse. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastrekaya Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhiha.
The verdict of all the revealed scripture is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success.
So once, I think one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how is it that even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success? It seems like very exaggerated. So Prabhupada gave the example. He said that when the wood is dry, then when it comes in contact with the fire, even for one moment, then immediately it catches fire. But if the wood is wet, even if it comes in contact with fire for a prolonged period of time, still it will take more time to actually catch fire. So that means there is an aspect of the attitude of the person who is taking the association that is also there. So this verse is quoted. Tulayamala venapi nasvargam napunarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashishah.
The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benediction in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death.
This verse comes three times in the Bhagavatam. Does anybody remember like where all it comes? With slight modification, but Pracheta's prayers to Vishnu, first canto. Yeah, that's the first canto. Pracheta's prayers and then? But exactly similar, almost all the words are another places in Rudra Gita. Lord Shiva took. Lord Shiva's to Prachetas. Lord Shiva to Prachetas it comes, and then I think Narada Muni to Prachetas or Prachetas to Prachetas to Lord Vishnu. 31st chapter, Narada Muni to Prachetas. So then from the 56th verse, 56 to 59th verse, Mahaprabhu explains that about Krishna's protection to your living entity through his instructions in the Gita. Okay, Krishna protects a living entity. When a living entity gets the association of a devotee, then he gets bhakti for Krishna. But also when a living entity hears Krishna's words, Krishna also protects a living entity through his instructions in the Gita. So Mahaprabhu quotes the most confidential part of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva guhyatam bhoya shunume paramam vacha ishto sime dridam apiti tato vakshyami te hitam. And then he quotes this manmanabhava madbhaktum adhyajimam namaskuru. So then he says that although Krishna previously explained the proficiency of executing Vedic rituals, fruitive activity enjoined in the Vedas, practicing yoga and cultivating jnana, these last instructions are most powerful and stand above all the others. So then Mahaprabhu says that if a devotee has faith in the strength of this order, then he worships Krishna and gives up all other activities. And if a person does not have complete faith in devotional service, then he should practice devotional service and also practice the other duties. So that is explained in 61st verse. Tavat karmani kurvita nanirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadauva shraddha yavanna jayate.
61. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principle of Vedic injunctions.
So this, like he Mahaprabhu explained the most confidential part, how Krishna protects the living entity through his instructions. And then he is emphasizing that how one should have faith in this Krishna's instruction of Manmanabhava Madbhakto. So now he gives a definition of faith. This is a very important verse. 62nd verse is a definition of pure faith. Shraddha Shabde Vishwaska He Sudrida Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritaka.
Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service.
So, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritaha. Simply by rendering service to Krishna, all other activities are done. So, pure faith has got two aspects. Two qualities of pure faith, that is exclusive dedication to Krishna and complete dependence on Krishna. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport, how he Prabhupada explains is that a person has responsibilities towards the demigods, the forefathers, the different sages, etc. And another is that responsibility towards oneself. Or basically it means that taking care of one's own physical needs, one's own different needs. So, but when a person has pure faith, he understands that simply by serving Krishna, then all these other duties, all other responsibilities will be taken care of. So that is the aspect of exclusive dedication to Krishna. By serving Krishna, all the demigods will be full satisfied. And simply by serving Krishna, I don't have to separately endeavor for my responsibility. My needs will also be taken care of. So that is a complete dependence on Krishna. And these two qualities are explained with the analogy of watering the root of the tree and feeding the stomach. So watering the root of the tree, this analogy is for exclusive dedication. Because by watering the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree get the water. There is no need to separately put water to the different parts of the tree. Similarly, there is no need to separately satisfy the demigods and other people. And by feeding the stomach, you don't have to, like, automatically the hands and legs will also be satisfied, will also get nourished. Similarly, by satisfying Krishna, like, we will also get nourished. So these two analogies are explained. So therefore, that yata taror mula nishechena, that verse is given. And now having emphasized faith, so now Mahaprabhu describes the three gradations of the devotees based on faith. From 64 to 74, Mahaprabhu classifies three types of devotees based on faith. Yes, especially 64 to 70, he classifies the devotees based on faith. So I will just summarize this section. Mahaprabhu says that Uttam Adhikari is that person who is very well versed in the scriptures, who is like very good in logic and reasoning, and who has got very strong faith in Krishna. He is considered to be that Uttam Adhikari. So when it is explained, Uttam Adhikari, Shastre Yuktau Cha Nipunau. So Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu In the beginning of Bhakti Rasama Sindhu, when he talks about the qualification for bhakti, he specifically says that logic and reasoning is not the qualification for bhakti. The qualification for bhakti is that only bhakti. Logic and reasoning is not the qualification for bhakti. But when he describes the Uttamadhikari, he says Uttamadhikari is one who is Shastra Yuktaucha Nipunam, who is very well versed in logic and or expert in logic and an understanding of the revealed scriptures. So then, does he contradict what he mentioned previously? The Acharya is explained by saying that when he explained that logic and reasoning is not the qualification for bhakti, there he meant dry logic. But when he is explaining that Uttamadhikari is well versed in logic and reasoning, here he is referring to logic that which is based on the scriptures. Here this logic does not refer to the dry logic. So logic based on the scriptures means you try to understand the statement of the scriptures by seeing the context, the previous statement and the next statement. But dry logic means there are two aspects of dry logic. One aspect of dry logic is that you don't refer to the scripture only. Another aspect of dry logic is that you refer to the scripture, but you don't see the context of the statement. You just say that, that means like somebody says that yatechasi tata kuru. The conclusion of Gita is that do whatever you want. That's what Krishna said, because Krishna said yatechasi tata kuru. That is the essence of Gita. So this is an example of dry logic. You don't see the, just screw out a particular this one. So but here Shastra Yuktaucha Nipunav means logic which is based on the scripture. And a person has got prouder Shraddha. He has got a very strong, deep faith. And Uttamadhikari, he will be not only is well versed in the scriptures, he can actually convince others. He can convince others in actually in the process of bhakti. On the other hand, Matimadhikari is that Shastre Yukti Nahi Jane Drida. He is not very expert in the argument and logic based on the revealed scriptures. That means like he has knowledge of scriptures, but he is not very expert. He is not very expert, but he has got firm faith. So that much faith that he may not be able to convince others, but at least his faith will not be shaken when he meets some opposition. On the other hand, Kanishtha Adhikari is one, he is having Komala Shraddha, he is having some faith and he has almost no knowledge of the scriptures, but he has got some faith and his faith can get shaken when he meets some opposing arguments. So this is the three types of devotees who are mainly based on faith and knowledge of the scriptures. So you can be in touch with how the chapter is progressing. Mahaprabhu explained about process of bhakti and he talked about the Krishna's confidential instruction. He said one should have faith in this instruction, and then he gave a definition of faith. And what are the two aspects of faith? Exclusive dedication, complete dependence on Krishna. Yata taror mula nishechanena. After 50, till 55, he talked about by association a person gets bhakti. And then 56 to 59, Mahaprabhu talks that Even by hearing Krishna's instruction in the Gita also, a person can practice bhakti. Then he quotes the Krishna's instruction.
By association and also from
Krishna's instruction. Because Jiva Goswami also says that a person, by hearing Krishna's instruction in the scriptures also, a person can start practicing bhakti. So then he quotes the Krishna's most confidential instruction. But then one has to have faith in that instruction. So therefore he gives the definition of faith. And then he classifies based on the level of faith and the knowledge of the scriptures. Yeah, devotee is classified in three types: Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttamadhikari. So 71st verse. Rati Prema Taratamye Bhakta Taratama. Ekadasha Skandetara Kariya Chelakshana.
A devotee is considered superlative or superior according to his attachment and love. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the following symptoms have been given.
So now from 71 to 74, like another classification of the devotees are given. So 64 to 70 is one classification of the devotee based on faith and knowledge of the scriptures. But 70 to 74, this classification is based on attachment and love to Krishna. This is another classification. So here, based on that, a person is called as a taratama, intermediate, superlative, or like a person who has lowest attachment, intermediate attachment, and highest attachment. So, if you see, like, I was reading Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani by Shivaram Maharaj. So, yes, analyze this section. I'll just mention some points. So, what he explained is that, he says that the first qualification that is based on knowledge and faith and knowledge of scriptures, so there they are called as Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. So that class, he says that category is three levels of qualification for devotional service. Just like, for example, somebody is applying for a university. So all three people are qualified, but all three people have different levels of qualification. Somebody is having, say, 40 marks. So he is qualified, he has passed in 12th, but he has got 40%. Another person is passed with 65%. Another person is passed with 85%. So all three are qualified because they have passed. But there are different degrees of qualification. So therefore he classifies as that three degrees of qualification for bhakti. And this qualification, the 71 to 74, this is three degrees of advancement in bhakti based on one's attachment to Krishna, based on one's attachment and love for Krishna. So then he mentions that according to Srila Prabhupada, when you read the purport of 71st verse, so according to Srila Prabhupada, so when we talk about the second classification, 71 to 74, where the devotees are classified based on one's attachment to Krishna, so they can be called as Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta, and Uttama Bhakta. The previous qualification is Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. So, but then Shivaram Maharaj says, but according to Srila Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada equates Kanishta Adhikari with a Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyama Adhikari with a Madhyama Bhakta, and Uttama Adhikari with a Uttama Bhakta. But he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhakti Tattva Viveka. But that, in the Bhakti Tattva Viveka, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a slight difference between these two classifications. So in the Bhakti Tattva Viveka, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in the case of Kanishta Adhikari, he says that Kanishta Adhikari is a person who is practicing unsteady devotional service. That means who is in the stage of anartha nivritti. And Madhyama Adhikari is a person who is in the stage of nishta, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Uttam Adhikari is a person from the stage of Ruchi to Prema. So are you getting this point? That this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's this one. His point is like Kanishtha Adhikari is a person still the stage of Anartha Nivritti. Madhyam Adhikari is a person who is in the stage of Nishta. Uttam Adhikari is from Ruchi to Prema. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says regarding the second classification that is based on one's attachment to Krishna, which he calls as Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta and Uttama Bhakta. So there he says that Kanishta Bhakta is on the same stage of Kanishta Adhikari. That means who is in the stage of unsteady devotional service, that is Anartha Nivritti. So according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also is same as Prabhupada's this one, Kanishta Bhakta and Kanishta Adhikari are same. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he talks about Madhyama Bhakta, he says that Madhyama Bhakta is a person who is from the stage of Nishta to Bhava. Nishta to Bhava. And Uttama Bhakta is the person who has got highest attachment to Krishna, he is on the stage of Prema. So Uttama Bhakta is basically nothing but the Mahabhagavad devotee, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then Shivaram Maharaj makes an interesting point that sometimes there is a question which is asked that the spiritual master should be only the Mahabhagavad devotee. Sometimes people say that. So you have to accept only the Mahabhagavad devotee as the spiritual master. And he is basically addressing this particular question. Why he is giving all this classification is that he wants to address this question that people say that spiritual master should be only the Mahabhagavad devotee. So in order to address this question, he gives this classification and then he quotes a statement of Prabhupada from the Nectar of Instruction. In the Nectar of Instruction, in one of the purport, Prabhupada says that one should accept a Uttama Adhikari devotee to be a spiritual master. Uttama Adhikari devotee to be a spiritual master. So, but what is the Uttama Adhikari? Uttama Adhikari is in which stage? Ruchi to Prema. Ruchi to Prema. Uttama Bhakta is the Mahabhagavad devotee who is only in the stage of Prema. So then he says that when Prabhupada is saying that you must accept a Uttama Adhikari spiritual master, Prabhupada does not mean that you have to accept only a Mahabhagavat. Because to get a Mahabhagavat spiritual master is very rare. So what Prabhupada means is that you have to accept a devotee who is at least in the stage of Ruchi. Yeah, best is to accept a Mahabhagavat, but when he mentions that you have to accept a Uttama Adhikari devotee as a spiritual master, that means he can be anywhere from the stage of Ruchi to Prema. So therefore, he addresses this point that he says that how it should be clear that an Uttama Adhikari, he may be either a conditioned soul at the stage of taste or attachment, or a fully liberated soul at the stage of bhava and prema. So therefore, when Prabhupada said that you must accept Uttama Adhikari spiritual master, definitely the Uttama Bhakta who is in the stage of prema, he is the best suited. But because such a devotee is very rare, so Prabhupada is not mentioning Uttama Bhakta, he is saying Uttama Adhikari, that means even a spiritual master who is in the stage of Ruchi or even Asakti can be accepted as a spiritual master. So he says, is it clear that I don't know whether. So you understood this. Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta and Uttama Bhakta. So one classification is based on faith and knowledge of the scriptures. This qualification is this classification is basically qualification for devotional service. Adhikari means what? Qualification. So Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. So one who is having least qualification is Kanishtha Adhikari. One who is having intermediate qualification is Madhyam Adhikari. One who is having the highest qualification is Uttam Adhikari. So just because a person has the highest qualification, it does not mean that he is a Uttama Bhakta. So Shivaram Maharaj gives an example. Somebody may have a very good business sense, but that does not mean that he is a millionaire. So somebody have a good, very good business sense. So if he uses the business sense, he can become a millionaire. So Uttam Adhikari is one who is having the highest qualification for pure devotional service, but he can be in the stage of ruchi, and when he progresses, he can come to the stage of prema. That means he comes to the stage of Mahabhagavat. So the other qualification is based on attachment to Krishna. That is Kanishtha Bhakta, Uttama Madhyama Bhakta, and Uttama Bhakta. He also mentioned, if you read Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada almost equates with all the three. Kanishtha Bhakta is, he uses the word Adhikara and Bhakta interchangeably. But Shivaram Maharaj has just explained from Bhakti Tattva Viveka Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where he mentions differentiation, because he mentions how Uttama Adhikari is at what stage, Uttama Bhakta is what stage. And then he explains this, answers this question of, does one need to be a Mahabhagavat to be a spiritual master? Because this is one of the, says that this is one of the long-standing controversy in ISKCON, that Mahabhagavat is a spiritual master. And also he mentions that sometimes people think that anybody who is a spiritual master is a Mahabhagavat. Sometimes people have that idea. But then Maharaj says that, but the history shows that so many spiritual masters have fallen down, that definitely shows that they were not Mahabhagavat. Because if somebody is a Mahabhagavat, he will never fall down. And in fact, they may not be even in the stage of ruchi, because from the stage of ruchi, one can fall down, because the stage of ruchi, a conditioned soul, but in an advanced stage. But the fact that many spiritual masters have fallen down, that means that they may not be in the stage of Mahabhagavat, they may not be in the stage of even ruchi also. So he mentions these points. So for the three devotees, Kanishtha Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta, Uttama Bhakta, who are classified based on attachment to Krishna, so Mahaprabhu is quoting the three verses from the 11th canto. Ishvaretad adineshu balisheshu dusasticha prema maitri kripa upeksha. But especially the 74th verse, that is very interesting. Especially Prabhupada's translation is very interesting. Archayam yeva haraye pujam yashraddha yehate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smritaha.
A prakrit bhakta or materialistic devotee does not purposefully study the Shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the platform, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya, neophyte devotee, or bhakta bhas, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy.
So you see that Prabhupada is giving a purport in the translation. So he is saying that Prakrita Bhakta is one who does not purposefully study the Shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Especially Prabhupada is pointing towards, we can say, at least one is pointing towards the Sahajiyas, because Sahajiyas, they say, oh, this scriptures, I think one of the previous purport also we read, when the six Goswamis were writing so many scripts, books, the Sahajiyas, they say, oh, these books they purposefully avoid the scriptures. They criticize that, so they are put in this category. So somebody may, because of sometimes because of busy being certain services, sometimes one may not get the time to read the scriptures. But one should not be averse to the idea of reading the scriptures. One should not purposefully avoid it. So that is what makes a Kanishta Bhakta. And because he does not read the scriptures, he doesn't understand the actual standard of devotional service. And because of that, he actually he does not respect the devotees. And therefore, he is called as a Bhakta Praya or Bhakta Abhasa. He is only a semblance of a devotee. Because we had discussed in the 11th canto, there's three elaborate purports. You remember that what Kanishna Madhyamottama Adhikari, many points are described by different acharyas. So the main point here, the Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyam Bhakta, Uttama Bhakta, is that like the Kanishta Bhakta, their vision of Krishna is only limited to the deity in the temple. Sadhyana Maharaj writes in the purport, Madhyam Adhikari has appreciation not just for the deity, but even for the other expansions of the Lord. But Kanishta Bhakta is only focused on the deity in the temple. And Kanishta Bhakta, sometimes he, like his attachment to devotional service, like he has attachment to devotional service, but he is also attached to other things. He is also sometimes attached to karma, jnana, etc. So sometimes he is also attached to certain materialistic ideas. So sometimes when a Madhyama Adhikari devotee, when he criticizes, say, demigod worship or technological advancement, so Kanishta Bhakta, he becomes very disturbed. Oh, how can he criticize this? Because he believes that, oh, we are also advancing technologically. So he has that certain faith. So he doesn't have the experience of Krishna is all in all. But Madhyama Bhakta, advanced devotee who has the experience that Krishna is all in all, when he criticizes other things, suppose maybe mundane, the modern education or demigod worship or Mayavadis or other certain this one, that Kanishta Bhakta becomes disturbed. How can he criticize these things? Because he has attachment to these things also. So like that, it's explained in that purport. So now we'll go to the next section. Now from 75 to 81, Mahaprabhu describes this section. He describes how the Vaishnava has all the good qualities. A devotee has all the good qualities. 75th verse. Sarva Mahaguna Gana Vaishnava Sharire Krishna Bhakte Krishna Raguna Sakali Sanchare.
A Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in Krishna's devotee.
So then he quotes this verse, because he especially, a devotee, Prabhupada writes in a purport that one has to check oneself whether these qualities are appearing in him. Prabhupada writes, I think the Bhagavad Gita purport, that this is the test by which whether a person is advancing, that means whether these qualities are appearing in him. So, next verse. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manuratena sati davato bahihi.
In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications, because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord.
So this is the verse which compares the so-called good qualities of non-devotees. How it is only, like the classic example which is given is that suppose the so-called good qualities of a non-devotees may appear very attractive. They are like the rows of pearls which are actually kept just like very appearing very nicely attractive. But when there is a slight agitation, all the pearls will grow in different direction. Because there is no thread which is connecting the pearls. But in the case of a devotee, because the thread is intact, the thread of Krishna Bhakti is intact, that definitely the qualities will appear. Even if they don't see the qualities right now, the pearls will come in the future and it will stay. So, yeah, another point which Maharaj explained in one initiation lecture is that he said that initiation means living by these qualities. So he emphasized that because when a person gets initiated, he is formally connected to the sampradaya. So there is a responsibility of living according to the, of properly representing the sampradaya. So therefore initiation means one has to put the effort to live by these qualities, like that he explained. So then the 26 qualities of Vaishnava are explained. You can just read the translation 78 to 80.
Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent.
So there are many qualities are explained. Satsurup Maharaj has written this book, 26 Qualities of a Vaishnava. So then, the Kapil Dev's verse is also quoted, Titikshava Karunika Sukhrada Sarvadehinam. Okay, the primary quality is that Krishnaika Sharanam, other qualities are secondary. So Indradyumna Maharaj says that like just like when a government sees that somebody has rendered very consistent service to the country in the army, then he is offered a medal. Government rewards him. So similarly, when a person renders consistent devotional service, then the Lord rewards him with these qualities.
So Sarup Lakshan and
Tatastha Lakshan, yeah.
Here they are telling the Krishnaika Sharanam is Sarup Lakshan,
and
that is
Tatastha Lakshan. Yeah. So now the next section from 82 to 86, Mahaprabhu explains how the association of pure devotee is the root cause of devotional service. Like it is similar to the previous one, but again he explained that association of pure devotees is the root cause of devotional service. The first verse he quotes is from the Rishabhadev's instruction. Mahat sevam dvaram ahur vimuktes tamo dvaram yoshitam sanghi sangam mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyavas suhrudas sadavoye.
It is the verdict of all shastras and great personalities that service to pure devotee is the path of liberation. By contrast, association with materialistic people who are attached to material enjoyment and woman is the path of darkness. Those who are actually devotees are broad-minded, equal to everyone and very peaceful. They never become angry and they are friendly to all living entities.
Yeah, the next verse is a very important verse. Just like definition of faith, Shraddha Sabde Vishwas Kahe. And this verse also should be memorized. 83rd verse. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha. Krishna Prema Janmete Ho Puna Mukhya Anga.
The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential.
So Krishna, even when the love of Krishna is awakened, still the association of devotees is most essential. This is a very important point. And again, Mahaprabhu quotes the Muchukunda's prayer. And then the next verse he quotes is from Nimi Maharaj to the Navayogendras. Ata atyantikam kshemam prichyamo bhavato naga samsaresmin kshanardopi satsanga sevadir ninam. And then he quotes again from Kapiladev's instruction, Satam prasanga mama virya samvido. So till the 86th verse, 82 to 86, he explained how the association of devotees is the root cause of devotional service. Because 86, this Kapiladev's verse, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati, this verse also says that Satam Prasangam, by actually association of the devotees, by discussing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, then gradually Shraddha, Rati and Bhakti. Shraddha here refers to the stage of Nishta, Rati refers to Bhava, and Bhakti refers to the stage of Prema. So gradually a person comes to the stage of Nishta, and then Bhava and Prema, all these occur Anukramishyati, gradually. Maybe I don't know that. He said that in sometime Kaviraj Goswami inserts his own Bhagavatam verses. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned. So some verses are maybe inserted by Kaviraj Goswami. Now the next section is 87 to 94. The next section is avoid the association of non-devotees. So this is an important verse. Asat sangatyaga yei Vaishnava achara. Stri sangi yeka asadu Krishna bhakta ara.
A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to women. Vaishnavas should also avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna.
So here he quotes the verses from, again from Kapiladev's instructions. We'll recite these three verses together. Satyam shaucham dayamaunam buddhir hri shriya shakshama shamodamo bhagascheti yatsanga dhyati sankshayam. Teshvashanteshu mudeshu kanditatmasa sadushu sangam nakuryat socheshu yoshit krida mrgeshu cha natatasya bhaven mohu bandas chanya prasangatah yoshit sangat yatapumsu yata tatsangi sangatah.
By association with worldly people, one becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, fortune, and all opportunities. One should not at any time associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a toy animal in the hands of a woman. The illusion and bondage that accrue to a man from attachment to any other object are not as complete as that resulting from association with a woman or with men too attached to women.
So this verse talks about how by association with non-devotees one loses all the good qualities. The maximum illusion and bondage, the highest bondage, is by association with women or with people attached to women. And then Mahaprabhu quotes another verses. The 91st verse he quotes from Katyayani Samhita. It is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasama Sindhu. He says that it is better to be surrounded by fire than to associate with people who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. So it's very strong. I remember another verse in Bhakti Rasama Sindhu. It's better to be live in a cage with a tiger, something like that, instead of associating with a demigod worshipper, like that. He quotes Bhakti Rasama Sindhu, there's a verse. And then another verse, he says that one should not even see those who are bereft of devotional service. and were therefore devoid of pious activities. So from a practical point of view, we need to deal with the people. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj writes in his book, when we talk about association, it especially involves emotional involvement. Of course, there are certain things you may have to, suppose if a person is working in a company or something, you may have to speak with other people, etc. But one should not be emotionally involved. But certain association, one should not associate even physically also. Like if you remember, we talked about Swarupata Parityaga, Bhavata Parityaga. Like we have to apply certain principle. We have to apply Bhavata Parityaga with certain association. But we have to apply Swarupata Parityaga with certain association. So then another verse, then Mahaprabhu says that one should give up all attachment, not only bad association, even the regulative principles of Varnashram, and take exclusive shelter of Krishna. So he's trying to emphasize the point of actually exclusive shelter of Krishna. Even if suppose Varnashram Dharma is coming as an obstacle for practicing bhakti, one should actually reject that and take exclusive shelter of Krishna. In most cases, it will be harmonious, but sometimes when a person becomes obsessed with a certain duty, a certain ritual, then it can come as an obstacle for bhakti. So in that case, one should even reject those pious Varnashram, the Dharma of Varnashram also. So then from 95 to 98, Mahaprabhu gives, in the 95th verse, Mahaprabhu gives the qualities of Krishna. He gives different qualities of Krishna, and then he says that, so which learned person will give up the shelter of Krishna and worship somebody else? So 95th verse. Bhakta Vatsala Kritagya Samartha Vadanya Hena Krishna Chadi Pandita Nahi Bhaje Anya.
Lord Krishna is very, very kind to his devotees. He is always very grateful and magnanimous, and he possesses all abilities. A learned man does not give up Krishna to worship anyone else.
So, then he quotes a similar verse. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, so why one should give up Krishna and take shelter of a demigod? If one worships a demigod and leaves Krishna, he must be considered the lowest fool. Kaha panditos tvadaparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priya dritagira suhrida kritagyat sarvan dadati suhrido bhajato bikaman atmanam upachaya pachayau nayasya.
My dear Lord, you are very affectionate to your devotees. You are also a truthful and a grateful friend. Where is that learned man who would give you up and surrender to someone else? You fulfill all the desires of your devotees, so much so that sometimes you even give yourself to them. Still, you neither increase nor decrease by such activity.
So who speaks this verse? Anybody remembers? 48th chapter of the 10th canto. Akrura. After the Brahmara Geet, this chapter comes, 48th. Chakrura. Anyway. So whenever an experienced person develops real knowledge of Krishna and his transcendental qualities, he naturally gives up other engagements and renders service to the Lord. And Uddhava gives evidence concerning this. So that Ahobakiyam verse is quoted. Whom should I take shelter but Krishna, who is most merciful? Now from 99 to 103, Mahaprabhu talks about the principle of Sharanagati and the result of performing Sharanagati. So 99th verse. Sharanagatera akinchanera yeka yei lakshana. ತಾರಮಧ್ಯೆ ಪ್ರವೇಶಯೇ ಆತ್ಮಸಮರ್ಪಣ.
There are two kinds of devotees, those who are fully satiated and free from all material desires, and those who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Their qualities are one and the same, but those who are fully surrendered to the Krishna's lotus feet are qualified with another transcendental quality, Atma Samarpan, full surrender without reservation.
So he explains two devotees, Akinchana devotee and Sharanagata devotee. So Akinchanas are those who are fully satiated from material desires. But Sharanagata devotees are those who are surrendered to the Lord. Then he explains that out of the two, Akinchana and Sharanagata devotee has one additional quality of Atma Samarpan. So what is this principle of Sharanagati? Then he uses the six limbs of Sharanagati. Anukulyasa Sankalpa Patikulyasya Varjita. Rakshishishti Vishwaso, Goptrutve Varanam Tata, Atma Nikshepa Karpanye Shadvida Sharanagatihi. So especially when we talk about the six limbs of Sharanagati, when we see the first two limbs of Sharanagati, they are little action oriented. The next four limbs is a more emotional oriented. Having faith that Krishna will protect, and Krishna is the only maintainer. Humility, these are more emotional oriented. So in our stage, we have to practice the first two limbs, then the other four, this thing will gradually develop in due course of time. So just in regarding this six limbs of bhakti, the six limbs of Sharanagati, according to Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that Goptrutve Varanam is the very definition of surrender. And according to Jiva Goswami, this is the main item of Sharanagati, Goptrutve Varanam. And all the other five items are assistance to Goptrutve Varanam. But according to Vedanta Desika, Atma Nikshepa, that is, placing responsibility for one's maintenance in the Supreme Lord is the main item. So just the different acharyas give different emphasis on different thing. And then Jiva Goswami mentions that Atma Nikshepa means to have no independence from the Lord. That means like whatever he orders, I will do. And Karpanya means complete humility. That means according to him, Jiva Goswami says, Karpanya means no one is more merciful than you and no one is more fallen than me. That is the meaning of the word Karpanya. But when Vedanta Desika gives, Karpanya means feeling hopeless and incapable and therefore with humility surrendering to the Lord. I think similar meaning. So this is a very important verse. Talks about the six principles of in terms of surrender. So Prabhupada actually quotes Sarvasya Chakam Hridisanni Vishtu, and he says that how Krishna guides a living entity based on according to his living entity's attitude. Yetamam prapadyante. He says in the case of a devotee, sometimes it is asked how Krishna causes one to forget. So Krishna causes his devotee to forget material activities, and through the agency of Maya, Krishna causes the non-devotee to forget his devotional service to the Lord. This is called apohana. So then 101st verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, you can read the translation, 101st.
One whose body is fully surrendered takes shelter at the holy place where Krishna had his pastime, and he prays to the Lord, "My Lord, I am yours." Understanding this with his mind, he enjoys spiritual bliss.
And so we can say 101 to 103 is like, we can say other verses about Sharanagati are the result of Sharanagati. The 101st verse is explained that a person renders Sharanagati by taking shelter of the holy place of the Lord where Krishna had performed pastimes. And when he performs that, he enjoys bliss within. The result of the Sharanagati is that he enjoys bliss within his mind. The 102nd verse is explained that when a person performs Sharanagati, Krishna accepts him as his confidential associate. This is like another result of Sharanagati. And 103rd verse also we can say another result of Sharanagati. This again a verse at the end of conclusion of Uddhava Gita, Krishna is speaking this verse. Martyo yada tyakta samasta karma nirveditatma vichikirshito me tadamrutatvam pratipadyamano mayatma bhuyaya cha kalpate vai.
The living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality when he gives up all material activities, dedicates his life to the execution of my orders and acts according to my directions. In this way, he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellow with me.
So this verse says that by performing Sharanagati, a person enjoys the spiritual bliss from loving mellows with Krishna. So now from the 104th verse, Mahaprabhu explains about the actual process of bhakti. So first he explains the execution of sadhana bhakti. So by executing sadhana bhakti, one can attain the highest perfection of love of Godhead, which is the most desirable treasure. So he gives the definition of sadhana bhakti. So 105th verse. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhanabhida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata.
When transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotional eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is potentiality of the devotional service in practice.
So this is the definition of sadhana bhakti. So we can say there are three elements in this definition. The first is that sadhana bhakti is performed with one's senses. Which is the word which comes. Kriti sadhya, executed by the senses. And the second, it is the goal of sadhana bhakti is to awaken the love for Krishna. Sadhana bhakti is that by which the love for Krishna is awakened. And the third aspect of the definition is that the love of Krishna is dormant within one's heart. It is there in the heart of every living entity. So Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about how the sadhana bhakti begins with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam and Kirtanam. So therefore, every conditioned soul should be given the chance to hear the Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanted by a pure Vaishnava. So then Mahaprabhu says in the 106th verse, he says that Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam are the Swarupa Lakshan of devotional service. And the marginal characteristics is that it awakens pure love for Krishna. The Swarupa Lakshan is the Swaranam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. The marginal characteristic is that it awakens pure love for Krishna. Here, usually, like when we talk about Swarupa Lakshan, Tatastha Lakshan, so that means we can say, usually when we talk about Swarupa Lakshan, Tatastha Lakshan, we talk in terms of like, suppose, even if the Tatastha Lakshan is present, but the Swarupa Lakshan is not there, just like in the case of a devotee, the Swarupa Lakshan is the Krishnaika Sharanam, other things are the marginal characteristics. But here, like, I also didn't understand quite clearly here. Because here it's explained marginal characteristics that it awakens pure love for Krishna. So love for Krishna is not just some.
It is dormant.
Okay.
That is why this is calling it as tata selection, because it is an inbuilt thing.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, maybe we can also think like suppose when a person is practicing sadhana bhakti, even if he is not awakened his love for Krishna, but as long as you see that person is engaged in hearing, chanting and remembering, you must consider him as a devotee actually. Huh. Even he may not be awakened his love in the terms of like ecstatic symptoms or like the actual stage of prema, but as long as he is engaged in hearing, chanting and remembering, because the Swarupa Lakshan is present, you must understand that he is practicing sadhana bhakti. From that point, I think we can understand. So this verse is, next verse is important. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanadi Shuddha Chete Karayevuda.
Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the heart of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens.
So you see, this is a very important verse. Like one of the fundamental difference between Vedanta philosophy and the Abrahamic religion, they say that every living entity you are originally sinful. Like that's how the Bible says that the Old Testament. And because that too you are sinful because the original sin was performed by Adam and Eve. It doesn't seem logical. But the Vedanta philosophy says that originally every living entity has a love for Krishna. Originally you are pure, but now your consciousness is covered by the three modes. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love is awakened. So then the sadhana bhakti has two types. So I have not noted down the exact verse classification, but basically from 104th verse, Mahaprabhu is describing the sadhana bhakti. He has given the definition of sadhana bhakti. Then he says there are two types of sadhana bhakti: Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. So he gives a definition of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti in 109th verse. Ragahina jana bhaje shastrera agnyaya. Vaidhi bhakti balitare sarvashastre gaya.
Those who have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment in devotional service render devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, according to the regulative principles mentioned in the revealed scriptures. According to the revealed scriptures, this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi bhakti.
So the inspiration for practicing Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is from the Guru and the Shastra. So again, this point is, analogy is given by Prabhupada. Just like suppose, if we make the child, the walking capacity is present within the child. When the child practices walking, then in due course of time, it will start walking. But if you try to make the child fly, even if the child practices for whole lifetime, even if the living entity practices whole lifetime, he'll never be able to fly. Because the flying capacity is not within, not there within. So similarly, the point is that the Prabhupada emphasizes on that analogy, that capacity is there within, and then when you try to make the person practice, then he'll come out in due course. He also gives another aspect of the analogy. Suppose a person is very intelligent. So initially you have to put pressure on him to go to school, or you have to write the homework and write the test, etc. And then later when he grows up, you don't have to put pressure. He will naturally start studying. Because that ability is there within him. And another analogy he gives is of the typewriter. He says that in the beginning of learning typewriter, one has to, one may have to see which is the key, we have to very slowly type. But when a person becomes expert, then without seeing, he will be talking also, and then he will be like typing here. So that is like Raganuga stage. So that the stage, we can say Raganuga stage is like the stage of unconscious competence. So Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we can say it's the stage of conscious competence. That means consciously, Guru Maharaj has told, the scriptures have told, therefore I consciously strive to practice. So he quotes this second canto verse, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari. This verse is quoted for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, especially because of the word Ichyata Bhayam, Ichyata Abhayam. In order to be freed from the fearful condition of death or material existence. So Vishnu Chakratipad writes that because the actions of hearing, chanting and remembering are generated from the rules of scripture, which explain that the Lord extinguishes the fear of samsara. So therefore this verse is classified under the category of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So because the actions of hearing Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam is not generated due to the greed for the Lord's service. It is generated because, if you perform these things, you will be freed from the fear of material existence. And therefore, it is not put in the category of Raganuga, but in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then other verses are also quoted. Again, the same verse from the 11th canto. Yayesham Purusham Sakshad Atma Prabhavam Ishwaram. And then Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti involves so many rules and regulations. What is the purpose of all the rules and regulations? Smartavya Sadatam Vishnur Vismartavyona Jatochit Sarva Vidhi Vishayadosyur Etayor Eva Kinkara. So always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So this is a very important purport. You may read Giriraj Maharaj's Watering the Seed. So he mentions one pastime related to the purport in this particular verse. So once I think, I'm not remembering the exact pastime, but Giriraj Maharaj had a doubt. The purpose of all the rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. No, he had a doubt that why there is so much emphasis on 16 rounds chanting. If somebody is doing so many other services, he is anyway rendering service to Krishna. So then what is the emphasis of, especially why chanting? He had that doubt. So then maybe you can, somebody knows that pastime fully. He has that question and then he didn't get the proper answer. And then he came across this purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then he got the actual answer to the why there is so much emphasis on 16 rounds chanting. So I will just read this purport, especially the first paragraph of the purport. So the regulative principle should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna, never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of a spiritual master. But he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. And this chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. And of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. So when he read this particular purport, then he got the complete answer, why there is emphasis on 16 rounds chanting. Because what Prabhupada is essentially saying is that even if a person is rendering so many other services, But unless a person chants 16 rounds, it's still not possible to remember Krishna. So this cannot be compromised. That's what he is emphasizing there. This is absolutely essential. And then the second paragraph, Prabhupada explains about how remembrance of Krishna is the essence. When a person is distributing books, so one can remember Krishna and distributing Krishna's books. So because these duties serve as an impetus for remembering Krishna. When one goes to the Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he is going to sell Krishna's books. This way he is remembering Krishna. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he comments on this particular verse purport, he explains that actually this verse literally means that always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. But actually, always remember Krishna means 24 hours remembering. Each second of the 24 hours. That may be practically impossible for even the sadhaka. Because many times we remember many other things. So then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes in the purport, therefore this verse means that, he says that, at least remembering, chanting certain number of rounds, doing certain fixed services, so at least 2 hours chanting and participating in the morning program and Bhagavatam class and certain hours of service. So he says that it means that, like that he explains. Because otherwise, always remembering Krishna would be practically impossible on a sadhaka stage. So therefore he says here, for a sadhaka, it means that at least devoting a certain number of hours in direct devotional activities. That's what he explains. So then, Mahaprabhu describes about the different 64 items of bhakti. So out of the 64 items, there are 20 items and then 44 items. I'll just complete this one and then we'll take the question. So first he gives the 20 items. The 20 items are described in 115th verse till the 120th verse. So out of these 20 items, the first 3 items are the, Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita, the first 3 items are the most important. Guru Padashraya, Diksha and Vishrambhena Guru Seva. The reason is that because by these items we can execute the other items, because Guru is the one who teaches how to execute the other items properly. So Bhakti Rasamrita explains that these 3 items are the most important. All these items are just mentioned. And then the 4th item is Sadhu Marganugaman. That following the footsteps of the sadhus. And then 5th item is, the 4th is following the instructions of the sadhus. 4th is actually receiving instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. Saddharma Pracha is 4th, and 5th is Sadhu Marganugaman. And then, there are many, Krishna Preeti Bhogatyaga, ready to give up anything for Krishna's satisfaction. And then Krishna Tirthe Vasa, living in a place where Krishna is present. And Yavan Nirvaha Pratigraha, one should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep the body and soul together, fasting on Ekadashi, worshipping the banyan trees, cows, brahmanas and datri trees, avoiding offenses, 11th item, 12th item is avoiding the company of non-devotees. So there's one item which I just mentioned. 14th item is, one should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanations. Rupa Goswami says that not like reading many scriptures. So Prabhupada has actually given a more like elaborate purport. Like sometimes a person reads little from different book. You can say nectar shopping. Sometimes people say little from different books. So when Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu regarding reading many books, he says that this this item applies to especially books which are not Bhakti Shastras. In the case of Bhakti Shastras, one can read many books. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, even in the case of reading Bhakti Shastras, one should concentrate on few books and read it thoroughly. Instead of actually picking, oh, today I will read a Krishna book, tomorrow Madhurya Kadambini, and the next day some other book of one page. Like, in the sense, different. So even in the case of Bhakti Shastra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should take few books and then read it thoroughly and then go to the next book. So Prabhupada also mentioned the same point in the purport. He says that just 4 books are sufficient. What are the 4 books? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhakti Rasam Sindhu. So these 4 books are sufficient. These 4 books one must study thoroughly. So one has to, because now we have to be careful, because now there are so many books available. Like previously, devotees also didn't have many books also. Now there are so many books available. But one should actually study these 4 books very thoroughly, and then one should go to the other books. So this point is very important. Prabhupada also talks about accepting many disciples for actually a spiritual master. Unless one is powerful, he cannot assimilate all the sinful reactions of his disciples. So I'll just... They are also Vedic scriptures only. You cannot criticize them. So that is an important point. And then other items like one should not hear the blasphemy and should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between the men and women or subjects palatable to the senses. Neither by mind nor word should the devotee cause anxiety to any living entity. So this is also one of the items that not giving pain to other living entities. That in that 8th canto this verse comes, Dharma Kvachit Tatrana Bhuta Sauhridam. Lakshmi Devi is saying that these people are very religious, but they are not kind to other living entities. So then after giving these 20 items, then Mahaprabhu describes the 44 items. In the 44 items, he gives 35 items, and then when you read the purport of the 129th verse, Prabhupada mentions 35 items are explained, and then the 4 items are applying tilak, writing the names of the Lord all over the body, and accepting the deity's garland and accepting charanamrit. So 35 plus 4, these 4 items are included by Mahaprabhu in just in one item, archana. But their 4 are separate. So 35 plus 4, 39. And then the last 5 are the 5 most important items of bhakti. Harinam, Bhagavad, Shravan, this thing. So in this way, 34, so 20 items, first is 20 items, and then the 35 plus 4 plus 5, that is 44. So 44 plus 20, 64. So those 4 items, applying tilak, writing the names of the Lord in the different parts of the body, and accepting charanamrita and accepting the garland offered to the Lord, that is included by Mahaprabhu in just in one item. Yeah, actually, Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about separately. So in order to give the count, 35 plus 4, 39 plus the five most important items, 44. So in this way, I think I'll end here. You had some question? What row? 44? Yeah, 44 plus the first 20.
Which are the 20?
The first 20, Rupa Goswami says that like they are do's and don'ts. The first 20, first 10 are something to be done. 11 to 20 are something to be avoided. Not hearing the blasphemy, avoiding the offenses, not reading many scriptures, not accepting many disciples. So 1 to 10 are like pravritti, 11 to 20 are like something to be avoided. So that's first 20, that's a classification. And then from 21 to 64, then 40, next 44, for that he just gives a classification of 35 plus 4 plus 5. 35 items, and the 4 items, applying tilak, writing the names of the Lord in the body, accepting charanamrita, that is included in one item, but Prabhupada is just mentioning separately. And then the 5 most important items. So all these items, Rupa Goswami, the Mahaprabhu is saying that all these items are performed with one's body, mind and words. So that is what he explains in the, I think the 129th verse purport. Anganam, the verse which is quoted in 129th verse purport, Anganam panchakasyasya purva vilikatasya cha nikila shaishtya bodhaya punarya patrashamsasam. The glorification of, these 5 items is to make known the complete superiority of these 5 practices of devotional service. The 64 items of devotional service include all the activities of the body, mind and the senses. That the 64 items engage one in devotional service in all respects. In all respects. So I'll stop with the 129th verse. Tomorrow they'll continue. 130th. The 5 most important items. So, anybody has any questions, comments?
The devotee should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between men and women or subject palatable to the senses. So here the point is like hearing newspapers and mundane books. Sometimes like devotee circle, they also want to like remain updated about the outside because of their reads. Some preacher also they think like this is a very helpful. So what about that?
Yeah, maybe one way to avoid is like we speak to the people who are in the outside world just to know what is going on instead of actually reading. Sometimes the sense just to know to make the preaching relevant, sometimes you may have to be aware of that, but that also can be like for sometimes like during the breakfast, sometimes Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, like he tells what is happening outside with a devotional purport also. he tells we get to know better from the mouth of a devotee with a purport also. So that is, I think, that can be preferable than. So that can be one way of. It is some people service will demand that, like suppose when you're writing, somebody is writing BTG article, this one. So many times when we have to write articles, we have to, in order to capture the attention of the people, because many people want like Vedic perspective. One of the column in the BTG is like Vedic perspective on current issues. So we have to be relevant to the people, so for that, like sometimes we have to address the current issues. And so some people service, yeah, will demand that. But in what attitude we are actually reading? Yes, sir. Anything else? No, this is just saying that the